It's a little different when you're up in the air and you hear about planes going down. But if it's one thing I know, is that the Lord Jesus is my anchor. And I could praise him no matter what, that he is right there by our side. And this is nothing more than a test of our faith. Is your faith in Jesus this morning? Are you anchored in Jesus? Or are we one day up, one day down? Amen. God is good. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because we could see all the stuff going on around us. But he is right there near to the brokenhearted. And so this morning, even though I am brokenhearted, I know that God is near. And because of that, I can rejoice and praise him. Bless the name of the Lord. So just want to take a moment to welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. So at this moment, I'm going to call up our sister Alex, and she leads us in a sermonic selection.
Good morning, Taylor. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy. 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 We exalt thee. We exalt thee, 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 we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Sing hallelujah. 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 One last time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 amen.
Amen, amen. I hope you're ready for worship this morning. At this time, we're going to go into our communion service. I'm going to call up our deacon, Todd McCoy, as he reads the scripture.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Amen.
As we do the confession of faith by our deaconess, Helena Allen, followed by the prayer of consecration by Reverend Radcliffe.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
God our Father, who in wise providence have bountifully blessed us, in the name of Jesus, your Son, Lord, we thank you this morning for this communion service. Lord, we ask you right now to bless the elements that we, your people, share. The crackers represent your broken body. The juice we drink represents your blood, your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Right now, you said in your word, as often as we do this in remembrance of you. This is our prayer this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, let the congregation say amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Before we turn our attention to the Word of God, what a joy it is to see our sister Margaret back in our fellowship. Let's praise God for her. Thank God for His keeping power, what He's doing in the life of her family, even as they grieve and mourn the loss of a loved one. And I just want to share with the congregation, for those that may not know, just the other day, Reverend Curitan lost his father. Okay, so if you didn't know, why he's not here, he's with his family down in Atlanta, where his mom and dad now reside. But we lost Mr. Curitan. And so pray for him, right? Pray for his beloved wife, right? Pray for the boys, right? It's always difficult for boys to lose their father and grandfather. So let's continue to be prayerful. Amen. Death is a part of life, right? And for us, once we can deal with the emotional jolt of it, we realize that they transition to a far better place than where we are now. Amen. And that's the hope of every believer, right? It's the hope we have. That's why we come out to church every Sunday. That's why we pray. Why? Why? Because we have a hope beyond the grave, right? So we thank God for that. So, like I said, wanted to share that. Be prayerful. Remember the family. Remember those. Remember John, his sister, all those down there making arrangements. Pray for his mother, right? Keep his mother in prayer. Amen. So with that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Because regardless of the situation, the answer is always the same. And it's found in the Word of God. What a resource. You know, growing up, I was always excited about having an encyclopedia set, because the confidence we had that no matter what was thrown at us in school, we could come home, go to the encyclopedia set, what, and find the answer. I can write that book report. Why? Because I got an encyclopedia at home. So it seemed like everything there was to know in the world was in those encyclopedias. If I could just get there and make sure whoever had it last put it back, I could find it and get the job done. Well, what a resource we have as believers. Not an encyclopedia, but it is a God who knows and cares. And we can go to Him and find answers for life's most challenging questions. You have your Bible? Let's go to the Old Testament this morning, to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. We're also going to add to the witness. Josh, do I have anything on the screen? Good man, good man. I sent it, and I didn't, you know, with everything going on, I didn't know if it would make it, but good man. And that there is John Curitan in a box. Father dies, got to rush out of town, but he still took care of the stuff he had to take care of. That nothing exemplifies John more than that. He's faithful to a T. So you have it there. It's on the board for you. both here in the sanctuary as well as those at home. Old Testament, Exodus 14. We're going to add to the witness the 78th Psalm. I'm going to invite you to turn there. And as you find these perspective, the different passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Again, Exodus 14, Psalms 78 and 12. And if you're there, you're going to see this story. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Bel Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea." And I'm going to clue you in on a secret. That's the whole sermon right there. If you can focus on that, you got the whole sermon. You're down the road. You're 98%. You're like, "Man, I'm down the road." God spoke to Moses. He told Moses, he said, "Tell children of Israel," this is what he said, "turn and camp." He's changing their direction. Moses had them going this way, coming out of Egypt. Now God steps in and said, "Now I'm changing directions." This is what's happening right here. He said, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. What will appear to Pharaoh as a bad move or a misdirection is actually God's perfect plan." God had them right on course. There are times in your life where things appear as if you're going in the wrong direction. But in God's hand, you're right on course. God said, "Yep, you couldn't be in any better shape than what you are right now. I got you right where I was." But to other people, they're, what are they doing? That's the best. If you study this out, get you a map and go back and look at this. They put themselves, well, not they, God did it, in the worst position they could possibly be in. They put themselves that caused the sea to be in front of them, can't go forward, and now the wilderness and desert behind them. Can't go forward, I drown. I can't go back because we'll starve and burn up in the desert. Why would God change our direction and put me in the worst possible position I could be in? You just read the story. He's going to say, they're bewildered by the land and the wilderness has closed them in. Look at God. He's letting you in on his strategy. He didn't have to, but every now and then he does. He said, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them." Here it is. If you got your own Bible, underline this, right? This is the sermon. "And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army." Lord Jesus, your minds will go home. You got the sermon. I don't need to preach it. It's right here. Look at it. He said, "I'm going to gain honor over Pharaoh that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Do you see what's happening? I'm not fooling around. Do you get what's happening? I'm way ahead of myself. I got it in my notes to preach it out. Here, I give you a preview. You know, you go to the movie, they show you a preview of what it's going to look like. He changes direction. Now, remember, he just brought them out of Egypt. And I told you when they came out with what? They came out with all the wealth of Egypt on their backs. God not only set them free from Pharaoh, he made Pharaoh pay them back. For 400 years of slavery, he said, pay them back every penny. And they did. Children walked out, Bible said, with their backs bowed over from gold, silver, right? They're going, got all this gold. Now God changes direction, puts them in a bad place, right? And now he tells you why he did it. You see why he did it? So that he can gain honor over Pharaoh. You got to remember, you got to go back and you read this Pharaoh who came along at this period of time in the life of Israel's history. He said he was Israel's God. He said, no, Israel serves me. That's what he kept telling Moses. Who is this God you're talking about that let my people? What God? He said, I'm Israel's God. They serve me. Look at somebody and say, he shouldn't have said that. Lord. Now God comes and says, now I'm going to get honor over him. God said, now I'm going to prove who's really God. And the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to put my people in a hard place. Right? Here's another thing. If you want to preach this the other way, we can preach this one. It's not always, thank you, Holy Ghost, he corrected me. It's never about you. Lord knows that we'll preach any Sunday. Here's the thing you got to get, though. That's where people miss it. It's always about God. It's always about God. Whether you're up, down, sideways, flat, it doesn't matter. It's always about God. And never about you. That's where we get tripped up. Because we think it's about you. You're going to see Israel gets tripped up because they thought it was about them. It wasn't about them. Had they just read. Now maybe they weren't privy to the conversation God is having with. But God tells Moses, here. I'm going to put you in a bad place. I'm changing direction. I'm going to put you in an awkward position. But I'm doing it because I got to rectify some stuff with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's already been defeated. The 10 plagues, lost his firstborn. I mean, Pharaoh's on the sideline with but God said, look, I'm not through with him yet. God said, I'm going to fix it. Until your enemies praise me. I wish I had a real church. All right, let me move on because half of y'all get ready to fall out from standing up. All right, whatever. Here it is. So it was told, the king of Egypt, the people had fled. The heart of Pharaoh and his servants turned against the people. Listen, God knew what they was going to do. God said, I already know what they're going to do. Look at what the people said. And they said, why have we done this? Oh, my goodness. Now, we realize this. It's in our history and culture, too. Slavery is the best business plan ever invented. If you can get people to work for you for free, no wages, no benefits, no insurance, no nothing, for free. It's the best business. That you don't need an MBA to get that. That works in any economy. These people walk and say, wait a minute. We just allowed over 1 million men to leave our economy. What in the world were we thinking? This is in your Bible, I'm not making this up. So why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Look, so Pharaoh made ready his chariot, took his people with him, also 600 choice chariots. And all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh the king. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Look at this. You ever ask yourself this question? I don't know why they don't like me. I really don't know why they hate me as much. And anyone, any witnesses? Well, everybody love y'all, huh? Y'all just... I'm telling you, this is God's encyclopedia. You go to the encyclopedia of God, you get the answer. Oftentimes, they hate you because God fixed it that way. God hardened their heart against you. Read what the word of God. The Bible said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's why they hate you. And he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with, but that'll preach. Lord Jesus. Whatever. Let me keep going. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses, chariots of Pharaoh, horsemen of his army, overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-Hirathon and by Bel-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And so they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die here in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. That's like, he like said it in bold and underlined. You're not going to see him anymore forever. Right? That'll bless you. When we get there, I'm going to prove it to you. That's going to bless you. Then in the 14th said, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And so I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and horsemen. And then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for who? Not to you, not for your family, not for your cousin and them. He said, I'm going to get honor for myself. Over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horse. And that's it. At one point, the beginning of the week, I was like, oh man, yeah, I'm going to preach this, the whole chapter. Literally. As I was reading, I said, I couldn't preach this in 2 months if I wanted to. Every verse is loaded. I mean, just jam-packed with nutrients, vitamins. And I mean, you look at the board, right? Here's the sermon. Remember the Red Sea, part one. I said, the best I can do, I got to brag. Let me do half this Sunday, half the next, right? Somebody say, thank God. Pastor, don't preach the whole thing. One of the things they tell you, the old preachers tell you when you're young, as a young minister, they all, this is, I can hear them right now. You can't tell it all. You just can't. That's what they're trying to encourage. Don't try to. You can't. You just can't tell it all. Good. So you got it. Let's add to the witness. Psalms 78:12. And then let's get you off your feet. Psalms 78:12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. References in the Psalms back to the miracle at the Red Sea. So you have the sermon, Remember the Red Sea. Father in heaven, thank you for this hour. Consecrate your word to our hearts. Cause us to be made better by it. Holy Spirit, we commit this moment into your hands. In Christ's name forsake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. By a show of hands, let me know if this does something to you. If you remember this, know this, or anything. By show of hands. Remember the Alamo. Right? Anybody remember history class, American history? That's all that. Remember the Alamo. Y'all don't remember that? That phrase, that saying? Whatever y'all do, y'all don't greet Mother Radcliffe, because y'all should know, remember the Alamo. You learned it in seventh grade American history. Remember the Alamo is a battle cry that symbolizes the fight for Texan independence from Mexico. It was used by Texan defenders during the Battle of the Alamo in 1836. And later by U.S. soldiers during the Mexican-American War. This battle cry conveyed strength and honor. And so like many of you, I remember that, remember the Alamo and all that, and Custard and all that type of stuff. And it was interesting when I was reading up on it, the battle in which this cry was made and then became famous throughout our history, they actually lost that battle. All my life, I thought they won it. They lost the battle. It wasn't until later in a subsequent war that America proved victorious and was able to bring Texas into the Union. But remember the Alamo. And so, while I was going with that, if parents remember the Alamo, everybody, oh yeah, I remember high school, elementary, wherever you learned it, oh yeah. By the same token, this phrase should also resonate with us as believers. And that is, remember the Red Sea. You can make it to heaven if you just remember the Red Sea, right? And so that's what we're going to do over these next. So we're just going to go back. Now, how many know the Red Sea, right? Just like we're doing 10 Bible verses, this is one of probably the 10 Bible stories. Everybody, you ain't got to be saved to know this, you know? Red Sea, David and Goliath. I mean, just 10 things you just ought to know. Famous Bible stories. One of them, the Red Sea. And so while we may remember it, what we often remember is the big picture of what happened. And that is what? God opened the Red Sea. Children of Israel went across. But when you go back and remember it, rehearse it, relive it, restudy it, you find out that God did so much more. That may have been the crowning event, the crowning moment. But like I said, every verse loaded. God was doing miracles on top of miracles. On top of me, it just, when they got across, that happened to be the big, but that wasn't the only, man, that's the only, when we think of the Red Sea, oftentimes that's the only thing they remember. Oh, they went across the Red, but he did so much more, right? Look at your neighbor and say, God has done so much more, right? So here it is. Let me get down the road because I done wasted so much time. So those first verse, I told you, God, he made a change. He was going one way, said, no, changing direction. This is the reason I'm doing. So at this point, the Lord had Moses change the directions of the Israelites on purpose. And he did this so Pharaoh would hear of it and become convinced that they were confused by the unfamiliar wilderness. Now, this at this point in Israel's history, 400 years in Egypt, all they knew was Egypt. They'd never been outside the confines of it. Any land that was owned or annexed by Egypt, that they knew. Why? Because they were the slaves that built those cities. So they knew that land topography, that area, but they had never been outside of the walls or the territory of it. So they were traveling in unfamiliar country. They'd never been outside. Right? God changed direction. So when Pharaoh heard of it, he said, oh, they don't know where they're going. I forgot, they've been in Egypt all their lives. Their fathers, their grandfathers, they don't know nothing about what's outside of Egypt. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. God's judgment on Egypt was not yet complete. Talking about the 10 plagues, now he's adding even more. So one more time, he would harden Pharaoh's heart and receive glory through Pharaoh's foolish rebellion against his will. And like I said, you got it in verse 4. He said, I'm doing this, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Not Pharaoh, not anybody else. I'm Israel's God. I'm going to include you in something you may not have realized. I'm your God too. Even if you don't serve me, I'm still your God. Right? So that's, he's out to prove a point. Verse 5, Pharaoh hears of it, right? And the people say, why in the world have we done this? So out of haste and fury, gathers his army, 600 choice chariots. Pharaoh acted just as God predicted. You may not know what your enemy is going to do, but God does. What an advantage we have. That's why when we go to God's encyclopedia, we got the upper hand, right? Because God already knows what they're going to do, right? That's important because as a believer, that should help us trust him. Why? Because he already knows how it's going to play out, right? We may be nervous, unsure, uncertain, but God's not. Right? So it should allow us to be able to rest, feel comfortable and confident in the wisdom of God. I don't know how this surgery is going to work out, but God does. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this cancer, but God does. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this financial tight space, but God does. Right? And if you would just rest in him, his wisdom, his power, his might, you'd save yourself a lot of sleepless nights. So when Pharaoh learned of the seemingly erratic actions of the Israelites, he asked, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? Then he took 600 choice chariots, along with other chariots and his whole army, sped after Israel in hot pursuit. And he caught up with them by the Red Sea. And it says, and that's where God had led them, led the children of Israel. God led them into the worst place they could possibly be. Boxed in. Red Sea. Wilderness on either side. And now, got Pharaoh on my back. No, I can't. I know where I can go. I'm literally boxed in. And I'm boxed in because God put me here. Right? Look at somebody and tell you God put you there. They were stuck between, another famous cliche, a rock and a hard place. Y'all know that one. Y'all don't remember the Alamo, but y'all must have been in a rock and a hard place more often than you like to admit. The Lord bless you. So here it is. So good. So you're in a rock and a hard place. You're in a jam, tight place, can't get out. Here it is, verse 10. Look at all this stuff here. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. They saw him. Not only did they see him, they heard him. Imagine 600 chariots with at least 1 to 2 horses per chariot. Imagine the thunder the ground was making. Those hoofs just, and they were coming. They were get there. They were whipping those, they were like, get there. Imagine you got the sea in front of you. And now, even before you see Pharaoh's army, you can hear them coming. They good Lord, help me. Right? That's where they are. So they lifted up their eyes. Now they see them. Oh, my God. Here they're coming over the horizon. Look at this. Look how they came over the horizon with all of that gold glittering. You got to remember, Pharaoh was the top dog. 600 choice chariots, gold chariots. Now you got the thundering in the ground. Now you see all this gold coming over. Oh my God. They knew it was the Egyptians. Right? Here it is. They lived out. And behold, the Egyptians marched out. So they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. One of, for me anyway, the most scariest situations, predicaments to be in, is to be in a place, situation, that I was in previously and got out. Because the only thoughts that come to mind are, here we go again. I thought God had defeated the Egyptians. But here we go, just a few days later. And when I turn around, guess who I see? The same enemy that I thought God had delivered me from. Are you with me? Just when I thought, I was in revival last week, and I believed, I confessed, I spun around 3 times, and I was convinced that God had delivered me from that addiction. Less than 7 days. I mean, not even a week done gone by. I was delivered. The pastor prayed for me. I took communion. I got the victory over it. I shouted over it. Here we go again. But God delivered me from that addiction. I thought God had delivered me from that anger. I thought God had delivered my mouth, that I wouldn't talk like that anymore. But what? Here we go again. The thing I had shouted and given God the glory for, that I thought I had been delivered from, is back again. So now, not only am I doubting God, now I'm doubting myself. Now I'm doubting my deliverance. All because the thing that was defeated is back again. What do you do? What do you do when you find yourself doing it again? You do what Israel did. The text said they saw, they heard and saw Pharaoh. They were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I'm helping you. You may not realize, but I'm helping you more than you helping me. Right? Because the reality is, when we find ourselves back in trouble again, now remember, we just took communion. You spun around three times. The pastor accidentally spilled oil on your head. So you can't go back to the church and what? Admit that you're in trouble again. Not that. We prayed about that. We shouted about that. So the temptation is to what? Not say anything. But follow Israel's lead. When you find that thing coming back, cry out to the Lord. I'm helping you. You don't get nothing out of the sermon. Say, yep, the pastor preached. He did. When your past comes back to your present, cry out to the Lord. Here's the witness. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cries out, and the Lord doesn't turn a deaf ear, doesn't ignore them, doesn't act like it's not. He said, the righteous cry out, and the Lord, he hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. If you went home now, you got the word of God. You said, man, Pastor, I'm done. Man, I couldn't take no more if you gave it to me. Because that's what I needed. Why? Because I got some stuff creeping back up in my life. Thought I had defeated that a year ago, 2 years, a decade ago. I thought I was over that. Those feelings are coming back. Those emotions are coming. Those habits are coming. I'm telling you, cry out to the Lord. He'll hear you and deliver you of all your trouble. Here it is, 11. So do that. Here's something. Don't do this. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, why have you brought us out here to die? Because in their estimation, they said, we're as good as dead. Sea in front of us, wilderness either side, and now we got Pharaoh and 600 choice chariots. Watch this. And the chariots we built for them. Lord, help me. I mean, you got to understand the predicament they're in. They're getting ready to be destroyed by the same weapons of warfare that they crafted. Moses, why? Is this not the word that we told you back in? Leave us alone. Why, look at this. Watch out. Here. Watch out for getting comfortable with sin. They said, Moses, the first time you came to us, we told you, leave us alone. We rather live serving the Egyptians than serving and believing in the power of our God. they had been in slavery so long, they got used to it. That's why you got to confess your sins, right? Realizing that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, right? And to cut. Why? Because if you don't confess it, bring it up, get it right, settle it, you'll, after a while, you get used to it. Sin becomes natural instead of living holy. Am I saying anything? So it's not the word that we told you to let us alone. It was better for us to serve than to die here in the wilderness. So because of the fear that now was setting in, because something from their past was starting to creep back on, now they become fearful. Why? Because now death is imminent. This is it. It's in the road. We're boxed in. Can't go nowhere. Right? Fear leads to complaining and bad decision making. Can I get a witness? Fear leads to complaining, and when we complain, always remember, we're complaining against God. Right? Where did we start at? We started at the very beginning and said what? God changed direction. God put them in that situation. So now if you complain about the situation, realize what you're doing. You're complaining against God. The book says the steps of a good man are what? Even when the steps go down. He's orchestrating your downfall. Why? Because he's the God of the what? The resurrection. You may go down, but God has the power to do what? Bring you back up. Are you with me? Help me preach. Look at somebody and say, stop complaining. You're going to upset God and you're going to make a bad decision. Here's the witness, 2 Timothy 1:7. You know this. God has not given us, right? But what? Love, right? Power, right? And to execute a sound mind, you gotta what? You gotta chill out. Because if you continue to operate under fear, fear is going to drive you into making a bad decision. And then you're going to make a bad situation worse. And you can't blame God. Right? You did that. Because you let fear take. And God just said, he said, if you're fearful, God said, there is a fear that is respect and all. That is godly fear. But the fear that I'm afraid and I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm just going to do something crazy, that's not from God. And you know it's not from God because what? God knows what? Exactly what's going on. God already knows. He knows the end. What? From the beginning. Right? Here it is. 13. Moses said to the people, here it is. This is your message. Get this. You're down the road. What did he say? This phrase is all throughout your Bible. And if we as believers ever get this, we'd be so far down the road. You see what he says? 13. Moses said to the people what? Do not be afraid. I'm out of the New King James Version. Yours may say something else. But it's the same thing. He's saying what? Don't give in to fear. I know how it looks. I know what it seems like. I know what it feels like. I'm here with you. I'm not in some distant land calling you on the cell phone. If they get you, they're going to get who? They're going to get me too. Moses said, do not be afraid. This is how you fight, right? God's giving you, this is our strategy. Stand still. See, the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish. Who's going to do it? God's going to do it. And he's going to do it for who? For you. He said, I'm going to accomplish this for you. Right? Here's your praise point. Get ready, boys. This is a shouting point. You ready? Look what he said. Stand still. Salvation of the Lord. I'm going to accomplish this for you. What does it say? Today. God said, I'm going to settle this thing today. Raise your hand if you're tired of waiting. Come on, if you need God to do it, just stand and say, today. God, I need some stuff accomplished today. I've been in it too long. I can't take it anymore. And because he careth for you, God said, I'm going to settle it today. No more getting out and it coming back and you going up and now back. No. God said, I'm going to settle this thing today. Right? Look at somebody and say, today. Do not be afraid. I'm going to do it today. Oh, my God. God's a show off. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. That would have been enough for me. But look at your God show off. God said, you'll see him again no more. Watch this. Forever. God said, you won't see him again in this life. Or the next. God said, I'm done with it. You won't ever see him again. Forever. Look at somebody and tell them, that means it won't come back on you again. God's going to complete the deliverance process. This is the second and last treatment you're ever going to need. God said, I'm going to sell it today. And when I finish it today, look at somebody and say, it's over. No, devil, it's over. God settled that in my life. Oh my. Stand still. God said, I'm getting ready to do something. Here's the witness. Get this. This is the witness for it. You don't have to believe me, but believe God. Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. The only way to really know God is to be quiet and stand still. Right? Because as long as you're talking, as long as you're doing, you can't see or hear God. You hear yourself. You hear what you're going to do. How you're going to fix the situation. But the only way for God to operate, and I'm serious about this, because if you stand up, God will sit down. If you try to work it out, God will quit. Why? Because what you're telling God, I'm my own God. I know better than you. I know how to fix it. I know who to call. I know what to do. I'm my own God. But when you stand still, and against all odds, don't say nothing, you open the door for God to move. Right? Because God's not going to let nothing happen to his children. Right? If you got it, say, I got it. Good, I'm done with it. Let's get out of this thing. Here it is, 14. Oh, my goodness. So he already got you. You'll see him again. No more, forever. Get this. This is your verse. Are y'all looking at it? If I see your eyes looking at me, that means you're not looking at your Bible. And I want you to get confidence in the Word of God. And not the man of God. Because if Moses died, you still got to live on. Right? So look what the word said to you. Here it is. This is what the word said to you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Somebody help me preach this Sunday. Find your neighbor and tell him, be quiet. Come on, help me preach it. Tell him, say, be quiet. All right. Let's talk to them the way you talk to folk in your family, right? Look at him and say, shut up. God will fight for us. The only thing you got to do is shut up and let the Lord fight your battle. Somebody shout yes. We used to sing a song in the old church. Victory, victory shall be mine. And look, this is how I'm going to get it. If I just hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle, victory, victory shall be mine. He's given you the key to win every battle, every setback, everything that's trying to come back in your life. Just hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. Victory shall be mine. Here it is. Here it is. Nehemiah 4:20 says, therefore ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet. He says, resort thee thither unto us, and come back where we are. For our God shall fight for us. Nehemiah said, don't go out there. Y'all come back and stay here with us. Because we're just going to stand still. We're going to watch God do what only God can do. Because he has promised to fight for us. Look at somebody and say, he'll fight for you. Here it is, 15. Now, this is pastoral material, right? You ever want to know what it's like to be a pastor? Here it is, verse 15. Here it is. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? You see what happened? The people started crying and complaining to Moses. Moses, all right. Moses turned around and started crying and complaining to God. Not only were the people between a rock and a hard place, so was Moses. They're now crying to me, complaining to me. They didn't say it, but I can tell by the look in their eyes, they want to stone me. So Moses goes to God and he brings their complaints into God's lap. Look what God said. This is what God tells Pastor. Why are you complaining to me? You with me? The number one activity of most pastors is complaining to God about the church they're pastoring. That's what I hate to say it. Most pastors won't tell you that, especially around their anniversary. But that's what we do. We get on our knees and after asking God to forgive us, we ask God to kill you. And God, if you can't kill them, at least let them join a different church. I hope there's no pastors watching this message, but I'm letting the cat out.
Y'all supposed to think we love you all the time. No, we don't. We go to God and complain about you. You won't listen. You're not obedient. You won't pray. You won't give. You won't help. You won't support. Moses is a real pastor. And Moses gets the same answer then that God gives to leaders now. It's right there in the witness. Why are you crying to me? Right? Look at what he says next. And if you don't get excited about this, I'm just going to start recording my sermons and just playing them on tape, and I'm staying home on Sunday. Because y'all just dead. Y'all just no life, no nothing. Just dead. Look at what he said. Tell the people to go forward. And I'm sure Moses tried to help God by saying, God, how can we go forward? The Red Sea is in front of us because you brought us here. The wilderness is on either side because you brought us here. And now I got Pharaoh coming over the horizon with 600 choice chariots. Not only can I not go forward, I can't go backwards. I can't dip to the left or to the right. But God remains resolute. Read it. Read it yourself. Because y'all, so many times y'all think I'm lying when I tell y'all stuff. The Lord said to them, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Text three people and just tell them, go forward. Whatever's going on, I don't need to know what it is. I don't need to know who it is. I don't need to know how bad it is. I got a word from the Lord. Go forward. Get yourself together. Go forward. Now that you held your peace, now that you waited for God to intervene, God done sent a word to the house. Go forward. I know the Red Sea's in front of you, but this is why as believers we what? We walk by what? I know the sea's there. I know the wilderness is to my left and my right. But God told me, go forward. Somehow, some kind of way, God is going to make a way for my escape. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But the only thing I know is that he's got to do it. Because God said, go forward. Woe be unto you if you're stuck. Woe be unto you if it's 3 years later and you're still in the same place. Woe be unto you because God's word to the house is what? Go forward. Go forward. Trust me. Your steps are ordered by me. Right? If you got it, say I got it. Lift up your rod. Stretch out your hand. And divide the sea. You got to be kidding me. Watch this. I'm not even going to focus on that because you know that because you remember the Red Sea. And you remember God parted the sea. But here, watch this. I'm going to see what kind of faith you got. Right? Lift up your rod. Stretch it out. Divide the sea. Here's a preaching point. Here it is, Kurt. Any and everything you need
God's already given it to you.
He didn't say, go get the Ark of the Covenant. No Ark of the Covenant. Oh, bring the tablets. No tablets yet. God said, lift up the rod. That's what? Already in your hand. So you didn't realize when we were up on that mountain, that burning bush, I gave you everything you needed. You're the man for the job. You're equipped, right? You got what you need. So he said, here it is. Lift up your rod, divide the sea. Crazy. But you know that, so I don't have to preach crazy. Now here's crazy that most people don't get. And I was in that group until I was studying this text, and the words dry ground were in italics. That's a writing technique. When you want something to stand out, you either bold it, put it in italics, or underline it. What you're trying to do is get the reader's attention. Don't just gloss over this, right? I can show you in my Bible, dry ground is in italics. And I'm like, what? You know, the big deal is the dividing the sea and all that. But hear this, and I'll quit because you guys are tired. He's the only one praising God. Y'all just dead. He's running around the church shouting, praising God. He's the only one that got dementia. Pastor, you said go forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward today. God told me to go forward today. My mom and dad can sit there and go to sleep, but I got. Now, a couple years ago, you guys remember, you went down to Wildwood. Was able to get a cheap motel, $39.99. And you took the kids down to the seashore. All right, maybe $29, I mean. Whatever deal. You know, all right, maybe I'm the only one saying it. Don't look down. You go down. But you know how when you go to the beach, and as you walk down, Keisha said, 4-star. So the 29, that's me. The 4-star, that's Jermaine. Jermaine's like, yeah. You stay there, me and the boys. Come down for lunch when you get home. The water, you know how you walk, you get on the beach. Though it's hot, that sand you get on, as soon as you get off the boardwalk, it's firm ground. You can walk on it. I can get down to the seashore. But as you get closer to the sea's edge, and that water comes up, then it recedes. That sand is what? Cold, muddy. You know what I mean? Difficult to traverse. You know, it's no longer firm. You step on it, you sink way down. Right? Are you with me? Now, that's how it is when the end of the wave gets to the shore. Imagine what the ground must be like in the sea itself, where there's no receding. It's just hundreds, thousands of gallons of water on the seabed. That's why when things sink and go down to the sea, they're hard to rescue. A lot of them, they just get stuck in that sand. And that sand is hard. You can't move nothing. You can't walk, you can't pull nothing up, and it just gets stuck down there. So this is me. The miracle of dividing the sea is often what we remember. That's the miracle of the Red Sea. But there's another miracle. When God sent that east wind, it not only separated the waters. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. You read that text. He said, divide the sea and the children will go across on dry ground. Not muddy. Not difficult to move in. You got to remember, they got this gold on their back. They got all their belongings in their hands. This is in your body. He not only parted the Red Sea, but he dried the ground so that they could have an easy way out. If y'all not excited about that, I don't. You may never get excited about anything I preach. We used to sing this in the old church. We used to say, what more can he do? He's laid the foundation. He's opened up the way. What more can he do? This time he opened up the way and dried out the foundation. What more can he do? This is what God does when he fights for you. The New Testament writer tells us he'll not let anything, he will not let any more come upon you than what you're able to bear. And with every situation, he'll do what? He'll give you a way of escape. And the way of escape will be dry ground. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going out on dry ground. That means I'm not going to have to struggle to get out. I'm not going to have to wrestle to get out. Because God is going to dry the sea for me. And me and my family are going to walk out on dry ground. Are you hearing me? If you got it, say I got it. All right, I gotta quit. Dry ground. If you got it, great. If you didn't, here it is. This is where I finish at. Dry ground. He says in 17, indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And they will follow them. And so, we're back where we started, right? I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army, chariot and horsemen. Here it is. I'm finished. I'm not going any further. Then the Egyptians. Did you read it? What I would have thought it would have said is then the children of Israel. Right? Walls, waves up, dry ground, way of escape provided, going through. I would have thought God would have said then the children of Israel will know. Right? But look, you keep reading, keep reading. This is it. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. It's not about you. So often God will use us to show himself strong in the face of our enemies. Did you hear what I just said? God used Israel to prove his strength and might to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. And in so doing, God got honor for himself. Are you following me? This is how God works. This is why I want you to remember the Red Sea and not just, oh, he divides. No, he did so much more than that. And I want you to see it because God is getting ready to do so much more for you. And you got to pay attention to every step in the process. Because God is going to use the story of your life to get glory for himself. I don't know if it was last Sunday or the one Sunday I was telling you. I tell you how God gets a two for one. Look at him here. He gets a two for one again. Right? The Egyptians, and we'll get into it. I won't go any further. I'll stop. The Egyptians go in. The Bible said, what was just dry ground minutes ago? When the Israelites went through, they went through on dry ground. Now, the Egyptians follow behind. Pharaoh says, wait a minute. Keep charge. Because if the waters stay up for them, they'll stay up for us. And we'll overtake them either in the sea or on the seashore on the other side. Pharaoh was going for broke. He said, no, this thing is going to end in my favor one way or the other. You read it. I'm going to get it. I'll fool with it. Whatever. Next Sunday. Here it is. The Bible said the wheels of the chariots started coming off. What was once dry ground for God's people reverted back to mud. Try riding your bike, not up on the dry seashore, but down where the waves done been at, and now it's wet and mud. Try riding your bike down there. You ain't going nowhere. It's too muddy. It's too compacted. God takes the dry ground, turns it back wet, and the wheels of the chariots started breaking off. They were driving so fast, and all of it was like they hit a brick wall. What was dry ground for you becomes a stumbling block for your enemy. And here it is. You read it. You got it. But I got to stop here because I'm out of time. This is what the Egyptians said. Turn, let us go back. It's in your Bible. Because God fights for them. That's in your Bible. Literally, just another verse or two down. They got it. And when these choice chariots start going down, God fights for them. Right? Remember the Red Sea. And when you do, I want you to remember everything he did. Don't just remember the big stuff. The ride, the way, that's big stuff. Can you imagine that? How many of you got a good imagination? Raise your hand if you got a good imagination. Imagine, here God opened the way. Right? Everybody say, goodbye, Josh. Thanks for coming. I still owe him that Chick-fil-A meal. I'll get it to him now. Look, I'm finished. This is it right here. You see this wind come. The sea's divided. Imagine walking through. Now they're walking through. They're not running through. And as you walk through, in my mind, this is what I equated it to, being in the aquarium. You ever been to an aquarium? What do all the kids do in an aquarium? They go where? They go right up to the glass. Why? Because they're amazed to see all those fish so close. Because the glass is, it almost looks like you could touch the whales, the shark. The only thing between you and that aquatic undersea world is a sheet of glass. Is your imagination? So you're walking through and you're seeing the fish that you used to catch in the Nile swimming next to you while you're walking. Watch this. You're looking at them, and they're looking at. Why? Because you don't belong down here. They're wondering what's going on. You wondering what's going on. And all the while, you're walking on what? Every step is a what? A step of faith. Step of faith. Not only that the ground won't revert back to being wet, but what's to prevent the waves come crashing down with me and my kids here in the middle of the sea. So every step is a walk of faith. Every step. And every step, your faith should go what? Higher. I look back. He done brought me this far. I was on the seashore there. But now I'm in the middle. And guess what? God is still keeping that wall up. Unlike the aquarium, where at least there's something to protect you with the clear glass. The only thing keeping that wall from coming down is the Word of God. As long as that east wind kept blowing, that wave stood back. The sea stood up. You know why it stood up? Because God. The fish saw the children of Israel. But what the Red Sea saw was the power of God. They said, God's coming through here. We got to stand that attention. No. The king of all creation is walking through the sea. And the whole sea stood up. They saluted God. They weren't saluting the children of Israel. They weren't saluting Pharaoh, but God. And I'll give you this. Oh, did I miss this? Oh, my goodness. Lord, if I miss this. No, I didn't. It's next week. Good, I didn't miss it. It's next week. For some reason, it came to my mind, but it's next week. I told you, I originally wanted to preach the whole chapter. We're an hour and a half, and I still ain't done nothing. So I couldn't. But it's next week. You'll get it. The sea stood up because God was walking through. Right? The sea stood at attention because our Creator is walking in our midst. So the whole sea drew back. Why? Because God is here. And as long as the children of Israel followed God, walked in His footsteps, the sea stood still. And they walked through on dry ground. So the whole purpose for this exercise is I want you to remember the Red Sea. But when you remember, that's why I want you to study it. Go back. Literally every verse is a miracle. And I want you to study it and I want you to remember it because it's going to become your story. Where every step is going to be a miracle. It's a miracle, the predicament He put you in. It's a miracle what He's going to do to your enemy. It's a miracle what He's going to open up before you. It's going to be a miracle what He puts underneath your feet. And I don't want you to remember the Red Sea like some of you remembered the Alamo. How you guys got out of high school, I'll never know. I'll never know. Matter of fact, next Sunday, get your transcripts. I'll make that a part of the membership application process. I need to see your transcript. Remember the Red Sea. You don't have to be in Egypt. You don't have to be out in this plain and all that. If you live long enough, you'll find yourself between a rock and a hard place. If you live long enough, you'll find yourself on the banks of the Red Sea. You won't be able to go forward. You won't be able to go back because your past is creeping back on you. Old habits, old ways, old addiction. Thought you were over it. Thought God had delivered you from it. But here I go again. And when those moments in life come, so, Pastor, I'm just trying to prepare you. Just remember the Red Sea. Remember what He did then. Because He's going to do the same thing now. He's going to part your Red Sea.
He's going to give you dry ground. And he's going to personally escort you to the other side. That's what it means in the Great Commission. That's what he meant when he told the disciples, "Lo, I am with you always." Even when you go through the race, I'm right there. And he said, "Just remember, I'm doing it for my glory. And so when I get you to the other side, in the midst of the sea, the Egyptians are going to praise me. But when I get you safely across, y'all need to follow Miriam's lead." Miriam took those tamarinds. She got the women of Israel. She said, "Give God a praise for what God has done." God got praise from both sides, his enemies and his children. And that's what he wants from us. The predicament you're in, God knew it. God changed your direction to go there. Now he just wants you to stand still. Trust him. Put your confidence in him. And watch God work a miracle in your life. Are you with me? If you got it, say, "I got it." Okay, let's stand. If you could take up your sacraments, if you are without, please raise your hand. If you came in during the course of the sermon and you need a sacrament, please raise your hand. We'll get one to you. We have a few hands up. Lift them a little higher. Make sure our ushers see you. The Bible tells us that during this ceremony, do this in remembrance of me. That's what he's telling. That's the commandment. We go through this exercise not just to go through it, not just to give us something to do on the first Sunday, but God said, "I want to jog your memory about what I did for you." And even as you and I faced the Red Sea, so did our Lord and Savior. The devil thought he had him boxed in. Said, "I've got one of your own to betray you. I got all of the religious leaders and important people in Jerusalem wanting to kill you. I got a ruling governor, Pontius Pilate, who couldn't give a damn either way. Got you boxed in. I got you in front of your own Red Sea, your own cross. But Jesus trusted his Father. He said, "Into thy hand commend my spirit." He said, "I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to get me across the seemingly impassable gulf, an insurmountable sea. I can't get across it, but God will get you across." So every time we come around communion, let your mind go back, "Oh my God," and remember the great things that God has already done. And be encouraged. If he opened that Red Sea, I believe he can do the same with my Red Sea. I believe God can give me dry ground. I know it's tough right now. I know I'm in a tight place. But I'm going to let God order my steps. I'm going to let him put my feet on dry ground. So when I take the bread, when I take the juice, I'm going to remember what he did. I'm going to remember that he loved me enough to do it for me.
with our wafers lifted up, and with our hearts humbled before God, because He didn't have to choose us, but He did. Even as He gives His body for us, let us commit this Sunday to give our bodies for Him. Eat ye all of it. A cup of thanksgiving. This is what I use to sign the new agreement between you and God. No longer bulls, goats, pigeons, lambs. I'm your sacrifice unto God. And by my shed blood, you'll be washed, made clean and holy, without spot or wrinkle. People of God, drink ye all of it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Thank you for reminding us about the Red Sea. Thank you for reminding us about Calvary's cross, the great sacrifice and price paid for our redemption and our salvation. So help us, Lord, to walk worthy of the calling of God by which we have been called unto righteousness and salvation. Father, I pray this morning for every person standing at the Red Sea. Holy Spirit, I look to you now for every person, man, every woman, every boy, every girl that hears the footsteps of their past coming back. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus be against you. Father, I pray for them. Pray for their house. I pray for their family. Pray for their spiritual well-being, that even as their soul does prosper, that they also prosper and be in good health. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the rich history of Israel. Thank you for the power of the New Testament church. Help us to walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called and begotten of God Himself. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give them the best praise you got. Give them the best praise you got.
Some word. I'm going to be chewing on that this week. There were so many nuggets. So many nuggets. So I pray that that word bless you just as much as it has blessed me. Amen. I'm not going to belabor the point. At this point, I'm going to call up Deaconess Courtney Scott to give us the offering and announcement.
Amen. Right. Good morning to Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways. To give by text message, please text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, that's TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. You may also give through our website at taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. You may give by U.S. mail. please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You may also give through Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And for those of us that are gathered in the sanctuary, you'll find two offering baskets to my right, near the side ramp door, for your tithe offering and one for our preacher. You may sow a seed into our pastor's life via Cash App or Venmo. His Cash App is $PastorJonathanFord and Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support in our ministry. Now we'll move on to the announcements. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us in person and online. You may stream our service via Facebook and YouTube Live. Remember to hit the subscribe button on the YouTube page and follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle. February 16th, we'll be having Black in Philadelphia history presentation by Dr. Amy Cohen, and members of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity will be joining us as special guests of the pastor. That will be Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. Our Black History on the February 16th. On February 19th, on our Wednesday night Bible study, we will receive an update on Israel from Rabbi David Strauss. Pastor is asking all members to be online at 7 p.m. sharp. On February 23rd is Bible Memorization Sunday. Every fourth Sunday this year, either an adult or youth from YLE will recite one of the 10 Bible verses every Christian should know. The 10 Bible verses will be distributed via our electronic newsletter. And the Marriage Ministry presents Couple and or Family Photo Day. I believe that's still February 23rd. Immediately following service, head upstairs to take a professional photo with you, your spouse, or your family, and receive an electronic copy for you to frame or post as you like. Don't miss it. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person, corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night's prayer and Bible study is at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. For the month of February, we will be studying the book of Titus for Bible study. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet, and we look forward to seeing your child on the second through fifth Sundays. And don't forget Pastor's Wiley Challenge. It's Girl Scout season, Girl Scout cookie season. And so please support our girls, Kennedy, Zoe, and Zaya. And that will be all for our announcements. Amen.
Thank God for our sister Renee. She's here with us. Let's praise God for her. Coming up from Maryland to check on Mom. So it is not robbery to be with us. Now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless before the heavenly Father and host of heavenly angels. Lord, I pray that you would go with us, stand up strong in the life of believers everywhere, and give us the boldness to live for you. Realizing that it's not our glory, but that your purpose is to get glory for your name. So we submit ourselves to the plan and purposes of God. And to commit our way to walk by faith and not by sight. To praise God every step of the way. People of God, say amen. Amen. Amen again.
Just a reminder, next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, wear your Eagles paraphernalia, hat, scarf, sweatshirts, gloves, socks, underwear, whatever you got. We gotta get a dub. We need it.